Thanks for checking out this bonus interview with Andy Storch for Chapter 4 of Performance Driven Giving. My name is Kent Sanders, and I'm a writer who collaborated with David Hancock and Bobby Kipper on the book. Just a quick note before we get to the conversation. You may notice that these interviews have a bit of a different feel than what you're used to hearing on a podcast interview or another setting. The reason is because these have been edited for clarity and flow to let the material on giving really shine through. We appreciate you listening and hope you enjoy this conversation with Andy Storch. Right. Okay, first question here. You're very successful at engaging with people on social media. What would you say are some unique opportunities that we have to be giving and generous on social media?
That's an interesting question. So we live in a time where we have the opportunity to have our content, our voices heard by tons of people, right, with the advent of social media. And it's available everywhere. And it's something that people are probably paying even more attention to due to the pandemic in 2020, right, where more people are on social media. And that's the best way to connect now because we can't go to conferences and in-person events as much. I think there are a couple different ways that you can really give and give value and help others and be a giver on social media. Number one is on a more global scale in the way you create content and engage with content on social media. So instead of just promoting yourself and your brand and your business all the time, finding ways to give value to others. And value, the way people usually give value on social media is often hear it as three different types of categories. So one is entertainment. People do value entertainment, right? Education or inspiration. And so I like to create a lot of content that is inspiring for people in my network and may inspire them or help them or cause them to take some action that will improve their life. And the easiest way for me to think about doing that is just think about the things that I'm struggling with, the things that help me. And then I know, because even though we are all unique snowflakes, most of us have very similar challenges and, you know, similar things that we're struggling with. So if I can share things that I know can be helpful for me, then I know they'll also be helpful for other people. And I often hear from people saying, hey, thank you for sharing that. I needed to hear that today. You know, something like that from an inspirational message or maybe something educational. Hey, I just learned something. Here's what I learned and here's how it's helping me. And I think it could be helpful for others. So that's more in like the kind of the global broadcasting, creating content point of view. And then of course there's the micro person to person standpoint where you can connect with people on a personal level on social media. And I do it all the time on LinkedIn and Facebook. And I know friends that do it really well on Instagram as well, where you get into a direct message, right? And you're just checking in with people and asking them, how are you doing? What are you working on? Is there anything I can support you with? I saw you commented on this post, you know, can we talk more about that? And, or I saw you asked about this, here's a recommendation for something, and giving people value, whether it's advice or a referral, a recommendation, you know, any kind of thing. There's so many opportunities to do that as well. And a lot of that is facilitated by social media.
I love that. I love that. One of the things that we talk about in this chapter is limiting distractions, phone, computer, tons of other things. We talk about limiting distractions so we can pay attention to people's needs. How do you limit distractions in your own life and focus on what's important?
So I used to be a lot better at this than I am now, but I still do a decent job of it. We've got, there's a few factors to it. Number one is so three things I'm thinking of that are really important. Number one is planning my day and understanding what's important. What do I need to get done and what's on my schedule? So that's where I really value having a good journal with an area where I can plan the day. Nice cup, by the way, Total Life Freedom.
Thanks.
A journal where I can plan out my day and say, okay, I've got these things coming. When I do have some blank space, what are the important things that I want to get done today? I want to get these three things done. So let me plan ahead and figure out when and how I'm going to do that. And what are the things I want to get done? So number one is planning ahead. Number two is scheduling time for the things that you need to get done. And that can be global. Like I'm going to schedule a block of time for getting the things done that I said I was going to be done, or it can be really minuscule where every single little thing that you need to do, you schedule, including I need to call a doctor at this time, or I need to make sure that I call and talk to my spouse and have a conversation, or even scheduling in, you know, family game night and date night with your spouse and things like that. The more you can schedule stuff and follow your schedule, the more effective and more productive you're going to be. And then the third piece I would add is noticing how you are distracted by things and finding ways to cut down on those distractions. So the biggest offender is the notifications on your phone and your computer, right? So I try to really minimize those. Much as I love social media and I'm on it every day, I have all notifications turned off from social media on my phone. So I don't get any notifications. When you think about all the apps that we use, every single one of them is run by a company who has a group of employees whose single most important job is to make their app as addictive as possible so that you keep coming back to it again and again. So if you want to take control of your time and your schedule, you've got to take control of how you operate. And so that's why I turn off a lot of those notifications, because they're just going to get your attention and try to suck you back in every time somebody likes or comments. So to the point that you can turn those off and actually schedule the time again and say, hey, I'm going to go on Facebook twice a day at this time and this time, you're going to be a lot more productive. You can do the same thing with text messages. I used to have those off for a long time. I have them back on now, but I'll usually not look as much, or I'll keep my phone off my desk. Or if I want to be really productive, I'll keep my phone in another room. So it's not nearby, because I think what a lot of people do is they have their phone sitting next to them at the desk. It buzzes every time something comes up, or you have notifications on your computer as well from all these different apps we use to communicate, and they suck our attention away. And what happens when they do, when you're working on a project and you get a text or a social notification, you go look at it, even if it's just for a second, and you come back, the studies have shown that it pretty much, you know, it kills your focus. It takes you like 2 more minutes to really like regain that focus. And if you do that 200 times in a day, how much productivity are you losing? You're losing a lot of productivity. So it's really important to take control of that. Another thing, emails tend to get a little out of control. I haven't been doing this in a while, but some people are really good about scheduling time and just checking email twice a day. That can be really helpful as well. Those are the big things. And then, you know, batching, I think stuff. So I've actually, I'm changing my schedule for 2021 because things have gotten a little out of control for me. So I have decided that Mondays and Fridays are going to be blocked for me to take care of important focused work. And I'm not scheduling calls on those days. And I'm only scheduling calls on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, calls and interviews. And that will allow me to get a lot more stuff done versus stuff just being scheduled all over my calendar. Because even if you only have 4 calls on your schedule in one day with an hour break in between, usually you get done with a call, you got to like write some notes up, debrief, maybe stand up, stretch. And you don't get really any of that focus time before then you got to start getting ready for the next call. So even with breaks in between, the productivity is a lot less. So I'm going to try this out and do a lot more batching in 2021.
I love that. I love that.
Yeah.
So most people believe that corporations and companies are these big, huge, impersonal organizations that don't really care about people. But based on your experience in corporate, what are some ways that companies or businesses could put a human touch on what they're doing and show generosity and giving?
Yeah, I think a lot of it's easy to think that. And there are some bad companies out there that, you know, the executives, all they care about is the profit, the shareholders, and don't care that much about their people. That's very true. But there are also a lot of really great companies out there that do truly care about their people. The executives, shareholders care about their people. They put their people, their employees first, and it often shows. And they find ways to give to employees to motivate them. In fact, I just got, right before this, had a community call. I run a community for talent development professionals, as you know. Mm-hmm. And we had about 26 people on this call. And the topic that we discussed today was, how are you taking care of your people through the holiday season? There's a study out that shows that like 82% of employees say that they're burned out or near burnout. So like, how are we taking care of them? And so things that companies are doing to really show that they care about their employees, Number one is recognition. That's a really big one. A lot of people just don't know where they stand. They don't get the recognition or the affirmations that they really want. And a lot of people, everybody's different, but a lot of people, that's the number one thing they care about, is knowing that their work is making a difference and getting those words of affirmations. Like, they, for some people, they don't even care if they ever get a raise as long as their boss actually acknowledges that they're doing a good job, right? For some people, they do care about more about money. And sometimes giving a raise or a gift or you know, some type of recognition with a physical thing or a party or something like that can go a long way with employees. Celebrations, rewards, those often are appreciated. And then there's a lot more talk now for companies about, well, how do we take care of our people's health? So a lot of companies are instituting wellness programs that incentivize exercise, mindfulness, meditation, gratitude, things like that. Companies are looking for ways and opportunities to give people more time off. So the old American way of, like, you get 1 week off and you're going to like it, I think it's kind of going away, right? Like, companies are giving a lot more. I just spoke with a client this week from a big software company called Autodesk. They typically give their employees the week between Christmas and New Year's off, like most big, you know, progressive companies do. This year, they're giving them 2 weeks off because they basically just said, 2020 has been a crazy year. We're giving you an extra week off, right? And we want you to take it and relax. So I see companies doing that. Several companies I've heard from offering more time off. A really important factor that was talked about on the fringes and is now become really, really important in 2021, thanks to the rise of the social justice movement after the death of George Floyd back in May of 2020, is creating a more psychological safety and a more of an inclusive culture. You know, creating a culture where people can show up and be themselves and feel like they're appreciated and they have equal opportunities and they are listened to, they're not discriminated against. So really focusing on diversity, equity, and inclusion is a huge factor now. And you're going to see that more and more for the younger millennials and Gen Z as they come into the workplace, because even if you're not someone from an underrepresented group, people from the, you know, more quote majority, you know, white employees are still demanding that for their colleagues and friends from underrepresented groups, that there is more diversity, there is more equity, and especially there's more inclusion. And so companies that are listening and paying attention to that and making changes, these hard changes, are going to be rewarded for that. And that's definitely a form of giving and showing employees that you care about them, not just their work, but you care about them. And then I think that's the big stuff, you know, providing more benefits, right? Financial benefits, wellness benefits. I know some companies that provide coaches, therapy, all kinds of stuff to employees to really try to make their life as happy as possible, with it in mind that, like, we spend a lot of time working, and now most people don't even have a defined border between home and work anymore, because everybody's just working from home. So how do you help people have a more integrative, healthier, you know, life and not burn out? That's what a lot of companies are looking at.
I love that. Okay, final question here. How do you stay open to receiving when people want to show you their generosity or gratitude?
That is something that I have struggled with a lot through my life, is receiving compliments, receiving generosity. And one of the things that I have learned and talked to myself about is that I love giving to others, complimenting others, supporting others, helping other people with no expectations. And it makes me feel good to be able to do that. So if someone wants to give something to me and help me and I turn them down, I'm actually being quite rude, right? I'm denying them the good feeling of being generous. And if I do accept their generosity, it's almost like I'm doing them a favor, right? I mean, that sounds ridiculous, but I'm being generous to them and kind to them. So I've had to make a switch on that, and accept that people want to do nice things for me, and I've got to be open to that. And it also often inspires me to go do more nice things, generous things for other people, right? The whole pass it on karma kind of thing. Like, you know, if you receive nice things, you want to go do nice things for other people. So it has required a bit of a mindset shift, but it's kind of the thought that like, hey, if I turn this down, I'm denying them the pleasure or the, you know, the benefit of the feeling of doing something nice. So I'm not going to be rude. Like I'm going to, like we, what's the example I like to give? Like we often pass off compliments. People do this all the time. You mm-hmm. say, you know, I really like that shirt that you're wearing or something. And people say like, oh, this, oh yeah, I just got this on sale. I've no, you know, whatever. Or, I really like, I don't know. Like people say, like you hear it all the time, right? People try to pass off compliments and like, you know, like, oh, it's really awesome. How well you're the awesome guests you have on your podcast. And then I say something like, well, I've really just gotten lucky, you know, and just like not take any credit for it at all. And they're like, huh, okay, well, there's nothing I can learn from that, right? Versus acknowledging and saying, well, thank you. I worked really hard for that and I appreciate it. And here's what I did that, you know, in building my network to get these great guests. And then that way you get to learn from it. I get to feel good about the hard work I've done. So there's a lot of benefits to acknowledging it, but it's hard to make that switch.
That has universally been the exact response of every single person that I've asked this question to.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's so interesting.
Surprisingly.
Okay. Well, surprisingly, damn it, I didn't say anything new. Oh, well.
So what it has shown me is that there's a need to somehow address this issue of receiving, because I mean, we all talk about giving, but none of us ever talks about how do we receive from people?
Yeah. So, it's both. You know what? I've thought about this a lot over the years too. I used to have a real hard time giving people compliments. I wouldn't do it. Even if I thought of something, I wouldn't do it. And the reason I think was because I was afraid that they would think I was being disingenuine, right? That I was not being genuine. And then I realized that's silly. And I made this switch and I started giving people compliments all the time, like random people getting in an elevator, like, oh, I really like that dress. I really like that sweater. And people really appreciate it. And like, I would just start making friends and people would be smiling at me all the time. I'm like, why didn't I do this earlier? So I love giving people compliments and I love receiving compliments, but it took a long time to you know, realize that and make that switch.
We hope you enjoyed this conversation with Andy Storch and encourage you to check out the other interviews and the bonus content for performance-driven giving.